Meditation Part 12. I owe a great debt of gratitude to the devotees here of the Dharma Castle. We had our previous Gauri meditations always here, and I cannot imagine a better location to have these. However, this time we have made a special effort to extend the audience to all of you who are watching on the little distraction monsters or your laptops, to have a impartial designation for this. I wanted to briefly introduce the Gauri meditations for those who will be joining us for the first time today. We used to call these evenings Gauri Lila evenings, meaning evenings where we concentrated only on the pastimes, the amazing pastimes of Krishna's most merciful incarnation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who spread really kirtan all around the world. But then, as we did this, I believe for something like 12 years or so, we changed the course. We could understand that you cannot really make a relationship to Lord Chaitanya by just hearing he did this on this place, and then that happened, then this event occurred, and these were the political circumstances in which he appeared. We understood we need to go much deeper in order to understand Lord Chaitanya. We need to go into his inner mood, that what he saw in his heart when he related to Krishna, that love which was in his heart when he meditated about Krishna or saw his various pastimes, that love which came out into his pastimes, which came out into the external circumstances, which manifested there. So the best way to contact someone of that statue, the best way to make a contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the ecstatic incarnation of Krishna, who is full of bhava, of an inner mood, is, we thought, to try to meditate, to try to leave the rational mind, to leave the intellect behind, to go to a deeper place. It needs a deep place to connect to another deep place. It needs a deep person to connect to another deep personality. And therefore, we have elements of meditations and called this whole program Gauri Meditations. The idea is the same. Oops! We wish all of you to make contact with this most ecstatic volcano of love, and hopefully feel a little bit of the love which Mahaprabhu came to give in your own heart. Good. Let us now immediately go into the subject of today's Gauri meditation. There is a poem which best describes Lord Chaitanya's amazing inner mood. It was written by Srila Prabhudananda Saraswati Thakur, who described the splendid dancing, he says, the splendid dancing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on the shores of the salt water ocean. As I'm going to read this poem to you, you might like to sit. Let the many, many thoughts and worries and maybe even anxieties of the day disappear. Just have a few deep, relaxing breaths. then only listen and let the words affect you. One moment he laughs. The next moment he cries. The next moment he faints and rolls in ecstasy on the ground. The next moment he runs. The next moment he dances. The next moment he sighs and loudly cries out. Alas, where are you? Only Lord of my heart, can somebody please tell me where he is? In this way, plunged in the nectar ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, golden complexioned Lord Hari enjoys his transcendent pastimes on the shore of the salt water ocean. When we think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what comes to mind? Maybe the golden personality who danced and sang. Do you remember our last Gaura meditation? We described that Lord Chaitanya would form four Sankirtan parties. One danced in the east, another in the south, in the west, a third party was dancing, and in the north, a fourth. They had kartals and midangas. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the ecstatic mood increasing amongst his devotees, he wanted to not only dance in one body, he expanded into four different personalities. And he joined his devotees in these four Sankirtan parties and danced so much. But how did he dance? His dancing was not just an activity of the muscles. His dancing was not impelled by the joy which dancers feel who dance in this world as the rhythm increases and they swirl around. His dancing was totally impelled by divine ecstasy, which was coming from the spiritual world as an internal energy that moved him. His whole kirtan was all about dancing, and he had four main dancers who would take up the job of dancing in ecstasy. The Avaduta Nityananda, who danced so much that sometimes he lost his cloth, no problem. Advaita Acharya was there, and then Vrakeshwara Pandit, do you remember? He would dance for 72 hours non-stop, but not a little bit twist or foxtrot or modern style. He would go into the Tandava Nritya, that is the dance of Lord Shiva at the end of the cosmos. Very, very intense. And Srivas Thakur. My dear devotees, I think most of us don't dance enough. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, we speak of dancing. We should join the dancing. We should dance in our mind. Really, please dance in your mind like you never ever danced before. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It is sometimes very, very nice if after you have heard about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you close your eyes for a moment and you practice what is called the life of the mind. Our mind becomes alive through smarana, remembering, seeing something uplifting, something totally spiritual in the eyes of the mind. There's a saying which I heard in Vrindavan, a mind which cannot do smarana will do marana. A mind which cannot remember Krishna will do marana. Marana means to die. It will be spiritually not alive. What is the greatest joy? And conversely, I would like to ask you the opposite question. What is the greatest pain? According to the Transcendental Gaudiya scriptures, the greatest festival, the greatest joy, the greatest cause of celebration is when you can remember Krishna and bring him on into the throne of your heart. Then you should celebrate. The greatest pain is described as absence or separation from a kind, blissful, ecstatic devotee of the Lord. There's no greater pain in this world than seeing a great devotee disappear or leave. That is the ultimate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prepared his devotees one day for the greatest pain. Isn't it that in the greatest pain, when we can see a light on the horizon, then we mature in the greatest conceivable ways? The way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prepared the devotees is, he one day called them all together. He looked at them and he said, "You are all as dear to me as my own self. You are all my friends. You have properly executed the duties of friends by bringing me here from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri. I would not have been able to come without you. And therefore, because you brought me to the Lord, I consider you my greatest friends. You have given me the chance to see the Lord in the temple, but now I beg a favor from all of you. Give me one charity. Please give me permission to leave you. I want to go to South India. My elderly brother, Vishwarupa, has gone there and there are no news about him. Maybe he has left the body. Please forgive me, but I want to tell you, I wish to go alone. I do not want to take anyone with me." Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the writer of these pastimes, says that when the devotees who only lived to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that he wanted to leave them, they felt as if a thunderbolt had come out of the sky and struck them into their heads. You must know that the devotees were so attached they would not actually be able to sleep in the night. They just wanted to meet the Lord in the morning. They would call him the light of my eyes. And now the Lord says he wants to leave them. He doesn't want... Okay, he can go on a journey, but can't he take some of us with him? Did we do something wrong? For a long time, they just looked at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and didn't know what to say. Then Lord Nityananda began to speak. "How is it possible for you to go alone? Who can tolerate this? Let one or two of us go with you. It could be that on the road you fall into the clutches of thieves and robbers, and I am extremely expert in the routes through South India. I can take you on all the hidden routes." He was never there. Actually, he was there, but he was so in ecstasy when he was there, he didn't know any road which he would take. It's described when Lord Nityananda would go somewhere. He would sometimes ask, which is the right way to go? And then the people would say, this way. And he would go for a few meters that way, and then he would turn around and run in the other direction because he was overcome with divine feelings of ecstasy. Gauranga Mahaprabhu knew how much Nityananda loved him, and he replied, I'm simply a dancer. I have to dance the way you make me dance, Nityananda. But please allow me to say one thing. After I took sannyas, I wanted to go to Vrindavan. You said you would bring me to Vrindavan, but you brought me into the house of Advaita Prabhu in Shantipur, a total unrelated place. And when I was on the road with you to go to Jagannath Puri, you took my only possession, my sannyas danda, and broke it into three pieces. How can I travel with a madman like you? I don't know where I will arrive, nor what will happen. And look at Jagannanda. Jagannanda, he's supposed to be my servant, but who supports me, but he only wants me to enjoy sense gratification. And because I'm afraid that if I don't do what he tells me, that he will become mental and angry, I'm forced to do whatever he tells me. Otherwise, out of anger, Jagannanda will not talk with me for 3 long days. How can I do bhajan with such temperamental people around me? And Mukunda becomes very unhappy when he sees my severe austerities. Of course, Mukunda is a gentleman. He doesn't say anything. But by his unhappy face, I can become twice as unhappy as him. You must see, Lord Chaitanya is speaking now one thing, but in his mind the exact opposite is going on. The devotees in Jagannath Puri would love Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much that they wanted to care for him. They wanted to, that he eats the best of foods. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give an example of the renounced order of life. Once he was criticized by when Ramachandra Puri said, you are supposed to be a sannyasi, but I see you eat so much mahaprasadam. It's too much. Then Lord Chaitanya cut his portion by half. He only ate half as much. And then when Ramachandra, the criticizer, criticized him again, he ate only a quarter of what he used to eat, a little. And the devotees saw this. They also reduced their eating to half. And they were, not half, to a quarter. And they were practically fasting out of love. How can the lover have something more which the beloved doesn't have? It's not possible for the devotee to enjoy something if they do not feel that their Lord is served and is properly enjoying, and so on. So Mahaprabhu went through all of his devotees. He went through Damodar Pandit. He said, this Damodar Pandit constantly tells me, do this, do that, do that. I'm a neophyte in comparison to him. I know, and then he ended it all. I know that you have great affection for me, but such things disturb my activities. If I take any one of you with me, it would not be possible for me to protect what I need to do. Therefore, you all stay here while I go alone to the places of pilgrimage. My dear devotees, there are many dimensions in this, but I would like to mention one dimension which may be practical for all of us. In this world, what we crave the most is affectionate relationships. But as nice as these affectionate relationships can be, if they bind us so that we cannot do what we need to do to progress in our life, then these affectionate relationships can have a binding influence. Especially spiritual people must find the right balance between showing their affection to each other, taking care of each other, but also letting the other person fly on his own wings. Spiritual life, after all, is about the one relationship which was there before all other relationships, the relationship to the Lord. It does not mean that Vaishnavas should not care. It means care more. Be a true friend. See the need of your other friend. Support him as he tries to move forward in his journey to Krishna. And then you will see new dimensions unfolding. I once heard a very nice analogy. In materially friendly relationships, people stand before each other looking into their eyes. Unblinkingly, with deep affection and love, they look at each other. But their glances will sink into the glance and the heart of the other person. In spiritual relationships, we also we look like this. We look towards the Lord. We stand shoulder to shoulder. We support each other, but we remind each other of the Lord to whom we wish to go. And then we feel a type of energy in the relationship, which makes the relationships which we have not codependent relationships, but relationships which support each one in the relationship to move towards Krishna with strength. So Mahaprabhu, after describing the affection of his devotees and the good qualities of the devotees, was saying, I need to go alone, I need to find Krishna. But with this, on another level, we have now talked about one level, now we go another, still level, which is deeper. He actually praised the love of his devotees. See, Krishna has one emotional quality. He becomes submissive to the love of his devotees. From his perspective, he cannot be bound by the love of the devotees. No, he wants the devotees to exert more and more and more love. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, you all remember how he lifted the Govardhan hill. And when he placed the Govardhan hill back on the ground, You should have seen the scene. All the Brijbasis ran to Krishna. First of all, Nanda Maharaj came and massaged his arm, and then his friends came and pulled his hands as to make the knack in the hand. Mother Yashoda fed him and kept him on his lap, and after some time only, the gopis came and they offered yogurt and sesame to Krishna to eat. And he felt not, this is too much. He did not feel, I'm the Supreme Lord, I don't need all this display of affection. He felt more, they should give more and more and more. See, the Lord cannot be bound by anything. The Lord is always free. And the Lord is that one person who never discourages our affection towards him. So by telling his devotees one thing, you are too much, you're always pushing me in this direction or that direction, he told them in another way, you are the best, you are so affectionate. The reason why he went alone to South India is explained in the scriptures as the way Krishna always deals with his devotees. He sometimes disappears from his devotees, or he sometimes is not with the devotees only for one reason, not because he finds his devotees too much. No, he wants to increase their love and affection even more. So Nityananda knew the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he gave his reply. Okay, we have heard what you want. We know that you are the master of your own will. Do what you please. But there's one consideration. You are as ecstatic like me. You will dance and you will fall on the ground and you will be absorbed in Krishna. Someone needs to carry a fresh set of garments for you so that the old set can be washed in the rivers, and someone needs to be also there to carry your kamandalu. All the sannyasis of old times, they don't carry a tamos, but they carry for their water a kamandalu, a water pot, because water needs to be drunk drunken often. So yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to take one person with him, but he was not a close devotee. He was Krishna Das, who appears for the first time in Mahaprabhu's Leela in the recorded way. It was a newcomer. And then Mahaprabhu went to Lord Jagannath to beg permission to leave. The permission came immediately. How do you know that God gives you a permission? Have you ever thought about it? Are there any signs, maybe, that you can see, or the Lord agrees to something? He encourages me to do something. A very common sign in our tradition is that you get something from the deity, a garland, a flower, an old piece of cloth. So when Lord Chaitanya went to Lord Jagannath and asked permission, a beautiful garland fell from Lord Jagannath's neck, which was brought to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and then he left for South India. I think this is also very significant. When you travel, if you can travel, there is one very nice way to travel, a spiritual way to travel. You go, before you leave your house, to your altar. Or if you don't have an altar, then you just go in a room, sit in a room, and for a moment ask permission to go. I once was staying in a Middle East country, and whenever we left, the mother of the house came and put the Quran on our head as a blessing of the Lord that we could leave now and that nothing could happen to us as we were traveling long ways and lonely roads. In Armenia, they do another thing. When someone leaves the house, they take a pitcher of water and they throw it after the person who leaves. Meaning that as this water falls now on the ground, may all the inauspiciousness be washed away from you. When you travel, do this little thing. Say to the Lord, I wish to travel now, please protect me. And I can well imagine that nothing happens to you. I have done this always. Yes, I had my accidents, but I survived all the accidents in such a sometimes miraculous way that the people who came to save the victims of the accident were not believing that I was in the main car, that I should be the most dead of everyone. But this is a good way you might like to try. Before you leave, pray for the blessings. What I always do is I fix also my mind on the next destination where I go, and I ask also for protection from the Lord, who's everywhere, including in the next destination. In this way, I'm traveling with Krishna, and it is a real nice traveling. You say goodbye to Krishna, and you say, let me go to you, Krishna. That is a very nice way. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went to Jagannath, and he asked for permission to go and travel. Good. Then, this is the end. We come to the end of this katha. Lord Chaitanya said goodbye to the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. In one of our Gaura kathas, you have heard who is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a scholar. He had his own school where he taught. I heard once 5,000 sannyasis were at a time in his school learning. It was a real big place. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, my Lord, I already heard you want to go to South India, leaving us all. I have just one request. At the banks of the river Godavari, there's a very great devotee. His name is Ramananda Roy. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when he heard the name, started to move around and went into a deep trance of meditation. Because Ramananda Roy was someone whom he knew, although he had never met him in his pastimes. Ramananda Roy was the Gopi Vishaka. And because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who wants to understand the ecstatic feelings of his great of his devotees, he remembered, I can only learn from these gopis how love of Krishna really looks. When he heard the name Ramananda Roy, he knew Vishakha has arrived from Goloka Vrindavan. She is here in this world and she waits for me. But he didn't speak about this. He said, yes, I will visit Ramananda Roy. How this meeting took place, I think we will listen to this at another Gaura Katha, but for now I want to already prepare you. What happens when the fire goes to the volcano? What happens when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Ramananda Roy? It is very, very particular. We will hear about it. But before Gauranga Mahaprabhu left the entire area of Braj, the entire area of Puri, he made one stop at one temple. It's the temple of Alananath. Alananath is a temple which is just before Puri. It's about 11 kilometers. Nowadays you drive like this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have a special relationship to this temple. He would always go to this temple during the time when Jagannath was absent and could not be visited by him. There's a period of 2 weeks each year where Lord Chaitanya went to this place. It is a beautiful place. There are palm trees. Nowadays it's still very nicely forested. And there is one ancient temple where worship has been going on since really a long, long time. Also a long time before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. There's a beautiful four-armed deity. It's a Narayan deity. I once heard that the king of Puri had invited Brahmanas from South India to build a community around this beautiful deity, which it is said was already worshipped by Lord Brahma. And he is there, this deity, and he is worshipped. And Lord Chaitanya had a special relationship to this deity because this deity reminded him of the four-armed Lord. When Krishna disappeared from the gopis went to search for him throughout the forest of Vrindavan. They asked each tree, have you seen my Krishna? Have you seen my Lord? But the trees remained silent. Sometimes they dropped a leaf and then the gopis thought, he must have went the way where the leaf fell. When they were looking for Krishna, Krishna thought, I can't remain hidden from them all the time. So he took a four-armed Narayan form and stood in the forest. So the gopis came by, they saw Lord Narayan, and they asked him, have you seen Krishna? They were not interested in him. They didn't pay any obeisances. Well, they paid obeisances, but they didn't waste any time to say prayers or to stay. They just wanted to meet Krishna. Krishna had stood there. He had smiled to himself, thinking himself to be very expert to hide by taking on a different shape, a different form. But he was not so expert as he thought. When Radharani came and looked at Narayan, she said, Namostute Narayana. Where is Krishna? And then she repeated the question, where is Krishna? The question came out like liquid lava from her love-laden heart. Where is Krishna? And at that time, when Krishna in his disguise as Narayan saw Radharani's love, he couldn't keep up his disguise any longer. The four extra arms melted and he stood there feeling totally overwhelmed and also embarrassed. So this is the pastime which always took place in Alananad. Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I hope it's not too bewildering for those who are the first time here, but Krishna is wonderful. He's not like you. Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wanting to experience the love of a devotee, the best love of the best of devotees. And he stood before this deity. He used to stand before him and look at him, and he would ask him, where is my Krishna? And he would ask the question in such a way that he became so overwhelmed with love that he fell on the ground, on the stone ground, which was there before the deity. And the heat of his ecstasy burned different places into the stone. When you come today to the stone, you can see the actual size of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by seeing the imprint of his body which was left on the stone when the stone melted. So this is the deity there. And it's also a special deity in another way. As I said, it was worshipped by the Brahmin community. Once the Brahmana, I have to find the name for you, Sri Ketana had to do his puja, but he needed to go to another village to put his to do a ceremony there. So he asked this little boy to come and offer the foodstuffs. The Lord was standing there, and Madhu, the little boy, came in with a plate of food and said, I don't know how to say the mantras. Here is your food, please eat it. And then he went out of the altar to play with his friends. Then when he came back to take the plate, the offered plate, he saw all the food is still there, and he complained to the Lord, you are not eating. You are only eating when someone who is a scholar comes, not when I come, who don't know anything. I'm highly disappointed with you. You please eat, eat, eat. And the Lord loves love. When he saw his simple devotee, Madhu, asking him repeatedly to eat, he actually ate. This created a problem because there was no Mahaprasadam left. This was reported to Sri Ketana that your boy goes into the altar room, offers the food, but he eats it all by himself so that nothing is left for us. This is a scandal. Anyways, it's a long, long, long story, and to make it short is Sri Ketana tried to test his little boy. He wanted to see what was going on. So when the boy came, he said, you bring your food? And the Lord saw the food was coming, Ketana was hiding himself, and then the boy left the altar room, and then Sri Ketana saw that the Lord was starting to bend down, and he ate with his own hands the sweet rice which was brought by his devotee Madhu. Now remember, now imagine, you go one day on your altar and you see how the Lord bends down and eats your food. Or when you offer to a picture, imagine the Lord comes, a hand comes out of the picture and eats the food. You would think, my God, this is the reaction of my taking some substances which are not in our, which are some substances, so I'm hallucinating at this moment. You wouldn't take it very serious. But Sri Ketana, he jumped from behind the pillar and said to the Lord, "You can't do that! You are stone! Please behave as if you are from stone." And the Lord then said, "You are a materialist. You have not understood how I am present everywhere and how I am the deity also. And therefore, I will leave this temple forever if you do not allow your son to become the real pujari and the leading pujari, head pujari." So these are all stories around this temple. Lord Chaitanya danced in this temple and he went. Then with only Krishna Das to the on his way to South India, he sang a particular song with which we want to end this Gaura Lila Katha. But I would like to make two announcements before that. First of all, we have a service for those who chant the holy names. Each month we have one seminar online, The Heart of the Holy Name, with a lot of practical suggestions how to go into the next level in your chanting. The next one will be on the 24th of October on Saturday at 3 p.m. Central European Time. You can follow my Facebook for announcements. It sounds always so cheap when you say follow my Facebook, but that's what it is. there you can find it. Then please follow my Facebook page for the daily Kartik inspirations, which will start in October 31st. By Krishna's mercy, I will leave this part of Germany and I will hide somewhere where no one can find me, but I will still do every day, make a recording for every day called the Kartik Inspiration, which will help you to go through this very, very spiritually minded months with some, let me say, inspirations for what you, how you can go deep in your spiritual practice. I want to thank you all very, very much. We will end now. We will go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who chanted when he walked through South India. One easy mantra. You will be able to sing it along with us. You just need to repeat. Krishna, 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 Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava
Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava
Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava
Rama Raghava Rama Raghava
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare
Ram 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 Hare Krishna.